Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories, where every creak in the floor, every whisper of the wind, and every shadow in the corner of your eye become tales of the eerie and the unknown. Tonight, we have a chilling tale that will make you rethink the serenity of a winter's night. Bundle up, listeners, for the silence of snowfall. New hope was alive with the spirit of Halloween. Vibrant orange pumpkins lined the streets, their carved faces ranging from the playfully mischievous to the downright ghastly. Children, clothed in costumes, ran from house to house, their laughter mixing with the rustling of autumn leaves beneath their feet. The scent of cinnamon and burning wood wafted through the crisp air, signaling the start of cooler days. At the heart of the town square, Mrs. Patterson, the librarian, was arranging her pop-up stall of horror stories. Next to her, young Timothy and his friends were animatedly discussing their plans for the evening, their faces bright with anticipation. "The Hendersons are creating a haunted maze this year," Timothy exclaimed. But as the evening hues of crimson and gold started to darken, an odd phenomenon began to take shape. Despite the forecast being clear, the sky quickly turned overcast, casting a gloomy shadow over New Hope. The first soft snowflakes began to fall, much to the bewilderment of its residents. Timothy, looking up, felt a flake land on his nose. "It's snowing, but it's October," he said, eyes wide with wonder. His friend Clara, trying to catch a snowflake on her tongue, giggled. "Maybe it's nature's way of trick-or-treating us." Yet, as another snowflake touched the ground, a muted scream echoed through the alleyways, causing Clara's laughter to falter. The kids exchanged uneasy glances, but shook off the eerie feeling, attributing the sound to someone's elaborate prank. Down the road, at the local diner, the murmurs grew louder. James, the owner, switched on the radio, trying to find a weather update amidst the static. The light hum of the diner was pierced by the increasingly audible distant screams, now accompanying each snowfall. Anna, a waitress, clutching her tray tightly, whispered, "Do you hear that? Every time a flake touches the ground." James, trying to remain rational, replied, "It's Halloween, Anna. People are just trying to spook each other." But as the night progressed, and the snow blanketed the town in its chilly embrace, those once muted cries grew ever more persistent, chilling the very bones of the townspeople of New Hope. The jovial atmosphere of the evening was swiftly replaced by one of eerie tension. Children were hurriedly brought indoors, their once gleeful laughter now replaced by hushed whispers. Outside, the once playful snowflakes now seemed like carriers of torment, each one bearing with it a soulful lament that echoed the hidden fears of the town. As New Hope prepared for what was to become its longest night, the unspoken dread that something was profoundly amiss settled in, and the town's Halloween festivities were overshadowed by the unnerving silence of snowfall. The town clock's chimes heralded the arrival of midnight in New Hope, its notes cutting through the thick blanket of silence. A once festive town was now transformed into an unsettling winter wonderland. Every corner, alley, and street lay covered in the purest of whites, a stark contrast to the dark sky above. With each chime, the distant cries grew louder, the chilling sounds weaving their way into the very essence of the town. The houses, once glowing with warmth and laughter, were now dimly lit, with the occasional shadow moving behind drawn curtains, painting a picture of a community on edge. On Elmridge Lane, a small group of teenagers huddled inside Clara's room, their youthful bravado temporarily forgotten. Ryan, the oldest among them, stared out of the window, his breath creating small patches of fog on the cold glass pane. "This isn't normal," he muttered, more to himself than anyone else. Emma, the adventurous one with a streak of red in her raven hair, retorted, "Since when has normal been fun? Let's take a walk, see what this snow is all about." The lure of the unknown proved too strong for the teens. Donning their coats and armed with flashlights, they cautiously stepped into the silent streets, their boots crunching on the fresh snow. The once familiar landmarks of their childhood now seemed alien, bathed in the ghostly glow of the moon. As they ventured deeper into the town, their lights began revealing the grotesque silhouettes of snow figures, all of them standing frozen in contorted poses, as if caught in moments of sheer terror. The teens stopped in their tracks, their flashlight beams dancing frantically from one figure to another. "These aren't just any snowmen," whispered Sophie, her voice barely audible. "Look at their faces." One by one, the teens' faces turned ashen. Each snow figure they illuminated bore a chilling resemblance to someone they knew, Mr. Henderson, who ran the local grocery store, Mrs. O'Connell, their school librarian, young Timothy, who had been excited about the haunted maze. Ryan, swallowing hard, said, "We need to get back home now." But their hurried footsteps took a dread-filled pause as they approached Clara's house. On her porch stood snow figures resembling her parents, their lifeless, icy forms staring into the void. The chilling realization that these snow doppelgangers were not just confined to the streets but had also found their way into their homes gripped them. The group, hearts pounding and flashlights flickering, held onto each other, not out of comfort, but out of the sheer terror that they might be the next to be replaced by the ever-growing army of snow. The first rays of dawn pierced through the gloom, casting a soft, golden hue over the town of New Hope. But this morning was different. Gone were the chirping birds and the vibrant hues of sunrise. Instead, an unnatural silence prevailed, broken only by the occasional whimper or hushed conversation. As the townsfolk emerged from their homes, the sheer scale of the previous night's horror became evident. Everywhere they looked, there stood a snow figure, each a chilling reminder of a missing loved one. Mothers frantically searched for their children, husbands called out for their wives, and children cried out for their missing friends. David, the town's sheriff, along with a few deputies, tried to restore some semblance of order, but the weight of the situation was evident in their eyes. "We need to get help," he declared, his voice quivering slightly. However, attempts to reach out for external assistance were futile. The roads out of New Hope, which once led to neighboring towns, were now blocked by insurmountable walls of snow, as if nature itself conspired to imprison them. Radios, usually a reliable source of information, crackled with disturbing static, and phone lines remained dead. In huddled groups, townspeople whispered amongst themselves, sharing their experiences. One rumor, particularly distressing, began to gain traction. It was said that if one were to touch a snow figure, they would be assailed by a barrage of emotions, echoing the final, terrified moments of the missing person. Several brave souls attempted this, only to recoil in horror, their faces etched with an indescribable fear. At the town square, a crowd began to gather around the oldest oak tree, where Mrs. Tremaine, known for her vast knowledge of the town's history, stood. The frail elderly woman, her face etched with deep lines of wisdom and age, began to speak, her voice carrying an authority that demanded attention. "Centuries ago," she began, "New Hope faced a similar winter. Loved ones vanished, replaced by figures of snow. It was a punishment, a reckoning for forgotten promises and broken rituals." The crowd listened intently, hanging onto every word, their desperate eyes searching for a glimmer of hope in her tale. Mrs. Tremaine continued, "Our ancestors discovered that these snow figures were not just lifeless statues, but vessels holding the souls of the missing. A ritual was performed, an offering to appease the spirits that had taken their loved ones." She then detailed the intricate steps of the ritual, which involved a fire, ancient chants, and the use of specific herbs. "It's our only hope," she concluded, "to bring back those we've lost." The townspeople, while skeptical, were desperate for any solution. Under the guidance of Mrs. Tremaine, they began preparations, gathering the necessary items and setting a large bonfire in the town square. As night approached, they hoped that history could indeed be repeated, and that the haunting figures of snow could be turned back into their beloved family and friends. As the sun began its descent, casting elongated shadows across New Hope, the atmosphere grew thick with tension. Daylight's brief reprieve was ending, and the encroaching darkness served as a grim reminder of the previous night's horrors. While fear was universal, the path to salvation was becoming a contentious matter. James, with his scholarly demeanor and glasses perched on the bridge of his nose, led a group of concerned townspeople to Mrs. Tremaine's home, hoping to delve deeper into the intricacies of the ancient ritual. They crowded her small living room, its walls adorned with faded photographs and clippings, relics of a town steeped in history. "Mrs. Tremaine," James began, carefully selecting his words, "we need to understand every detail of this ritual, its origins, its purpose. Only with complete knowledge can we hope to execute it correctly." Mrs. Tremaine nodded, pulling out an old leather-bound book from a dusty shelf. "This," she whispered, "contains the rites and traditions of our ancestors." Together, they pored over its pages, deciphering the faded handwriting and age-old symbols, in hopes of unlocking a way to reverse their chilling predicament. Elsewhere, at the town's center, a different group was forming. Their faces were hardened with determination, their eyes burning with a mix of fear and anger. Leading this assembly was Marcus, a burly man known for his skepticism and no-nonsense approach. He stood atop the town's fountain, addressing the crowd. "We can't let old tales dictate our actions," he boomed. "These figures of snow are just that, snow. We melt them, and this nightmare ends." His words resonated with many who were desperate for a tangible, immediate solution. Armed with torches, gasoline, and anything that could generate heat, they marched towards the snow figures, intent on eradicating the icy doppelgangers. The two factions soon became aware of each other's intentions, leading to a confrontation at the town square. Flames danced in the night, casting an eerie glow on the snow figures, while the opposing sides faced off, voices raised in heated arguments. "This is our history, our legacy. We must honor it," James shouted, trying to reason with the growing mob. Marcus, defiant, retorted, "I won't stand by based on some old wives' tale. These are blocks of snow, nothing more." As the two sides clashed, a cold wind began to howl, sending shivers down the spines of the townspeople. The trees swayed ominously, their bare branches scratching at the night sky. A hush fell over New Hope as the first snowflake of the impending storm gently landed, signaling the onset of another chilling ordeal. The old chapel, standing proudly since the founding of New Hope, had seen countless ceremonies, celebrations, and mournings. But tonight, it would bear witness to a ritual unlike any other. As the aged wooden doors groaned open, James, Mrs. Tremaine, and their group entered, carrying with them the weight of the town's hopes. The chapel's interior was dimly lit, the flickering candlelight throwing shadows that danced across the stained glass windows. At the altar, a large, ornate bowl was placed. Beside it lay a variety of herbs, their fragrant aroma filling the air. Each person also held a cherished item, something that belonged to their missing loved one, a locket, a letter, a toy. With a deep breath, James began the chant, his voice echoing through the hallowed space. Mrs. Tremaine, her eyes closed, guided him through the complex rhythm and tones, ensuring every syllable was perfectly articulated. As the group joined in, the atmosphere grew dense, the very air seeming to vibrate with their unified voices. Outside, the snow figures stood silently. But as the ritual progressed, a change began to manifest. Their icy forms quivered, as if battling an internal force. And then, a heart-wrenching scream pierced the night, a sound filled with pain, loss, and a desperate yearning. As more figures began to resonate with these haunting cries, the entire town of New Hope became a chorus of despair. Not far from the chapel, Marcus and his group were realizing the horrifying reality of their actions. The flames from their torches licked the bases of the snow figures, causing not just melting but an unbearable intensification of the screams. Each droplet of water seemed to carry with it a piece of the trapped soul, and the horrifying truth became unmistakable when, deep within the melting snow, human-like remnants began to emerge. Eyes, frozen in terror, fingers outstretched as if reaching for salvation, and mouths, forever caught in a silent scream. "This isn't just snow," whispered Lara, a young woman from Marcus's group, her voice trembling. "We've made a grave mistake." As the realization settled, the divide between the factions dissolved. Skepticism was replaced with horror, disbelief with understanding. Both groups, united in their grief and purpose, rushed to the chapel, hoping that the ritual could still be completed in time, and that the trapped souls of their loved ones could be set free. The chapel's ancient walls trembled as the ritual reached its crescendo. The once muted ambience was now punctuated by fervent chants and the roaring flames. Mrs. Tremaine's voice, frail but resolute, was carried forth by the town's desperate choir, their unified voice reaching towards the heavens. Suddenly, a blast of icy wind surged through the town, rattling windows and snapping flags. As if compelled by some unseen force, the snow figures began to melt, not into water but into a thick, cold mist. This mist swirled and grew, converging above the town's center, coalescing into an enormous and menacing snowstorm. It was as though the very sky had descended upon New Hope. The world outside became a blur of white, a tempest of chaos. But in contrast, each snowflake that graced the ground landed silently, gently, pure as the winter's first snow. And then, as quickly as it had begun, the storm subsided, revealing a town transformed. The streets, once populated with the eerie snow statues, were now filled with townspeople. They stood bewildered, their eyes wide, taking in the surreal scene around them. Children called out for their parents, couples reunited with tearful embraces, and friends clasped each other, gratitude evident in their tight grips. Rosa, a young mother, held her daughter Clara tightly, tears streaming down her face. "I thought I'd lost you," she whispered, burying her face into the child's hair. Around them, small puddles with remnants of scorched cloth and charred possessions bore silent testimony to the misguided actions of the previous night. These remnants were grim symbols of a haunting past, reminding them of the narrow line between hope and despair. In the days that followed, new hope would rebuild, but not without changes. Snow, which once evoked memories of festive seasons and childhood joys, was now approached with caution, respect, and a touch of sorrow. Though the townspeople returned to their daily lives, a collective memory bound them together of a Halloween night when snowflakes whispered of terror, and a town stood on the brink of losing its very soul. Thank you for journeying with us through the snow-laden streets of New Hope. Remember, dear listeners, next time the snow starts to fall, listen carefully. Is that the wind howling, or something far more sinister? Sleep tight, and until our next tale, keep the lights on and the doors locked. This is our Scary Stories, signing off for tonight.